Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Second Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Baalim in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders gave they it, to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the house which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah the Levites of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. Also, they were over the bearers of burdens, and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites there were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king's, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvat, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. And they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same." So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. The passage is pretty straightforward. There are a number of things that are very encouraging in this passage that are good examples for us, and so on. So let's take a look at 2 Chronicles 34. All right, so Josiah comes to power at a very early age. He's 8 years of age, and that was why? Well, that was because his father was murdered. And so before he was matured enough to become king still, at 8 years of age, he began to reign. And so we see then, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, groves, carved images, and molten images. So, he's 8 years old. When he is 16, the Lord, if we can say, catches hold of his heart, of his thoughts. He becomes converted. He begins to seek the Lord God of his fathers. And then 4 years after that, when he is 20 years of age, this is when he begins to prosecute his reforms. Okay? So, I guess this puts us all to shame. I mean, here is a 20-year-old king in the flower of his youth, and yet he is behaving himself as one who is quite advanced in maturity, quite advanced in spirituality. There have been those prodigies that have existed in history. We think in our own country of the name Jonathan Edwards, who graduated when he was, he was 12 years of age, and so on. And we think of such spiritual example that Jonathan Edwards is to us, not only in his perseverance, in his learning, but also in his resolve as a Christian. Josiah here is a very young man, 20 years of age, and king over the land, takes the reins of power to himself and bends them for good. He is a commendable example. Remember that not everyone can do what Josiah is doing here. Not everyone is in that station, in that position as a king. Not everyone has that kind of authority. And yet notice that what Josiah does is very commendable because he rises up faithfully in pursuit of preserving his nation from the wrath of God. That's what a good king does. So he doesn't oppress the poor. He doesn't oppress the needy. He doesn't take advantage of his position. He provides in his kingly way for those under him with good laws, with wholesome statutes, with good direction. He provides a form and a place of worship according to the best teaching of the best theologians of the day, and he enforces that. And this is what Josiah does. So 4 years later then, he began his reforms, and notice what he did. He traveled throughout all Israel and Judah and broke down everything associated with idolatry. The altars, the priests and the prophets, the graves of those who had worshipped there and caused the people to do so. And so he takes up what might be considered a very complete reform. You remember the account in 2 Kings where it's got Josiah and what I call Josiah and his traveling iconoclastic band. And they're working their way into the northern kingdom, and he spies this one grave. It's obvious that it's the grave of a prophet. And he says, what about that guy? And they say to Josiah, well, that's the guy that said you would come and do all that you're doing here. And so Josiah says, well, then we'll leave his grave alone. But nothing else escaped the iconoclasm of Josiah, that he tore down things. It's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes we hear about these quote-unquote, and I am doing some air quotes here, these great works of art and how wonderful they are. And you know, there's those backward religious zealots who just want to tear down all of that stuff. Right? We hear about things like that. And we're thought of as backward, and iconoclasm is not thought of as a good thing by the watching world. And why is that? Well, because when those idols are created with all of the art and craft that man can muster, it is a celebration of the independence and skill of men. And so, no, there's not going to be an appreciation for let's tear that down and instead put in its place proper worship where we bow the knee to the God of heaven. You're not going to find that popular among those structures and systems that are given to exalting the craft and hand of men. You're not going to find that. But notice that Josiah here is commended. Even those, so there was an altar, and then there was a totem or a statue or something that extended on high up above that. And that was obviously a carved and ornate piece of work. And it says in the narrative here, he tore that down too. He didn't say, oh, that's a wonderful work of art, we can leave it. No, he had that backward, iconoclastic point of view that said, this doesn't belong here. And so he took it down. We see him traveling up into the northern kingdom. And this is obviously after the fall of Samaria and the occupation and captivity by the Assyrians. And yet, Josiah travels into the northern kingdom and prosecutes this same kind of reform. All right, so then, after all of that, Josiah comes home. He's completed the countryside reforms. Now it's time to start in Jerusalem. Notice he does not rest upon his laurels. He does not rest upon his accomplishments. There's yet work to be done, and so he takes it up. So now they're going to focus their attention on the temple of the Lord that has fallen into disuse. And so there's money inside the temple, and then there's money that's come from all over the countryside that is going to be dedicated to the work of the house. And I hope you saw the wonderful contrast. They say to Josiah, look at all this money that we've brought, and here's all the money that we found in the temple, and lo, we've delivered it all into the hands of the high priest so that he can distribute it. And Josiah says, And we found a book. And he says, what? The contrast between all of the money that's come in and then we found this book. It's the book of the covenant. And he says, not gather all that money before me so I can see how much you brought in, but read that book in my hearing. He wants to hear the word of God. And he has a right conception, a right understanding, a right prioritizing of that. How many today would be wondering, gee, how much did you bring in? He doesn't even ask. We found a book. You found a book? Read that to me now. And so it's a great contrast there. And when the king hears the words of the book of the law, scholars are divided as to whether or not this is the book of the covenant, Exodus 20 through 23, or whether it's the entirety of the Pentateuch. My take on it is that from the reaction of Josiah, it's the Pentateuch. And he's especially grieved over the reading in the book of Deuteronomy where the Lord makes clear that if they begin to worship other gods, his anger will be kindled and he will indeed push them off of the land. Josiah hears that reading and he weeps and he tears his clothes and he is grieved. He is humbled. Notice what Josiah doesn't do. And please hear this as an example. He does not plead, Lord, look at all we've done. Look at all the reforms I've prosecuted. Surely you can make an exception. Isn't that how we are? Don't we focus on and ask the Lord to think on the good things that we've done rather than reckoning our sins? Josiah hears the words of the book and he says, the wrath is great against this place. And so, he understands that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness and truth, and so he needs clarification. He's read the book, but he needs clarification. Oh, there's an application there, right? Josiah is not content simply to read his Bible privately, but he wants someone appointed to interpret it and unfold it to teach him. And so he sends an embassage to the prophetess Huldah that the prophetess might interpret the scriptures for him rightly. And there's a wonderful application there, isn't there? Now notice that Huldah is a prophetess, and we might say, a prophetess? So then is it okay to have women officers? I mean, that's where some of the reasoning goes, right? But no, although we don't impugn the motives, the efficacy, and the office of Huldah, she is obviously a godly woman appointed by God to that task. It is an extraordinary appointment to speak to the nation about its sin and that it is a nation under judgment. So we have this wonderful and faithful woman, and she teaches Josiah out of the book of the law what to expect. Yes, the wrath is great. But notice also what she says, and I hope that you get this burned into your memory banks. She says that because your heart was tender and you tore your clothes and you wept before me, you will also be gathered to your grave in peace and you will not see the evil that will come upon this place. And I want, as always, to note that among believers and even among unbelievers in the scripture, when they give an example of humility, sackcloth, and ashes for sin, the Lord always stands up and takes notice. The Lord makes particular mention of that to us so that we would be prone to imitate that same kind of grief and hatred for sin. Always. Even when wicked Ahab mourned and went softly before the Lord said to Elijah, you see how Ahab mourns and goes softly before me? He will be gathered to his grave in peace. It's an amazing thing. It is amazing that the Lord would so universally call us by the acts of wicked men and righteous men in Scripture, wicked women and righteous women in Scripture, When they repent, when they weep, when they mourn for sin, the Lord says, take a look at that. I like that. You want to please me? Then do the same. And so, that's what Josiah did. That is commended. And then they hear that although there is judgment coming, that it will come later. All right. Then, note the final section, and that is verses 20 to the end. What would that be? What would it be in common culture? We've heard that destruction is coming. What should we do? There's nothing we can do. Give it up. Is that what Josiah does? Not at all. He continues prosecuting holiness and reformation in his city, in his nation. He calls all of Israel together, all of Judah together, and he says, we're going to make a covenant to be the Lord's people and to serve him according to his commandment. In other words, he continues the reform even though he knows judgment is coming. Why? Because outcomes belong to the Lord, but means belong to us. He shows himself to be that kind of faithful man that really is rare, knowing that there will be destruction upon the southern kingdom, that it will fall. Still, he calls the people of God together, makes a covenant with them, continues the establishment of that godly religion according to the commandment of Moses and David. And then in the next chapter, what are we going to see? That when the date rolls round, he celebrates the Passover just like his grandfather or great-grandfather Hezekiah did before him. Thus ends the reading then of 2 Chronicles chapter 34.